And it reads, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of God is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of God's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth." There ends the scripture reading. On June 23rd, 1963, more than 125,000 people filled an area that spanned 21 blocks on the streets of Detroit. Those gathered had just completed a march down Woodward Avenue that marked the 20th anniversary of a white race riot against working-class black people. The riot left 34 people dead and 700 wounded. 12 days before the march, the NAACP leader Medgar Evers had been assassinated in Mississippi. The impressive size and power of the march was the fruition of efforts made by joining the civil rights movement with the labor movement. The keynote speakers for that day included Walter Reuther of the United Auto Workers and Martin Luther King Jr. In beginning his speech, King described the march as the largest and greatest demonstration for freedom ever held in the United States. Many of you would be familiar with King's speech that day because it used the same language as the speech King delivered 6 weeks later for the March on Washington. Just as he had in many other speeches, King spoke of having a dream. A few differences appear here and there as King delivered his "I Have a Dream" refrain. In a city in which black people suffered from housing discrimination and high rates of unemployment, King declared, "I have a dream this afternoon that one day, right here in Detroit, black people will be able to buy a house or rent a house anywhere that their money will carry them and that they'll be able to get a job." It's disheartening to think of just how far we have fallen from that dream when one considers how in the current recession, Detroit has become our nation's poster child for foreclosure and unemployment. The speech in Detroit and others by King can be found in a book entitled All Labor Has Dignity. The speeches contained in it are those by King that are often overlooked and forgotten. The book deals specifically with speeches that addressed issues faced by poor and working people. But one can imagine a similar book containing speeches on the Vietnam War. Oftentimes in the media, in our schools, especially around MLK Day, we get an emaciated version of King that deals with his struggles against racial segregation and disenfranchisement, but fails to mention his core commitments to less popular issues of economic justice and peace. In his famous speech at Riverside Church in New York City entitled Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence, King articulated his central concerns in a way that seems strikingly irrelevant today after having experienced a year marked by movements of protest around the world. At Riverside, King spoke of how they lived in revolutionary times with people all over the globe revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression. He declared that the shirtless and barefoot people of the land are rising up as never before. As he brought his speech to a close, he asserted, "Our only hope today lies in our ability to recapture the revolutionary spirit and go out into the sometimes hostile world, declaring eternal hostility to poverty, racism, and militarism." For King, these were the giant triplets of evil: In relation to King's concern for poverty and economic justice, the Book of Forgotten Speeches by King reveals a number of often unacknowledged facets of King's life. His close and frequent work with unions, his call for a phase two of the black liberation struggle that would go beyond civil rights and voting rights to economic equality, and his strong and passionate denunciation of where our country was headed as it split into two Americas divided by wealth and poverty. As I was reading about this, it occurred to me that one could argue that similar to these speeches by King, there are some forgotten speeches by Jesus. With all the focus in churches upon individual salvation or personal psychological well-being, one might forget that in the first sentence of the first public utterance of Jesus recorded in Luke, Jesus declared that he had come to bring good news to the poor. Jesus went on to proclaim release to the captives and freedom for the oppressed. Likewise, the Sermon on the Mount, with its reference to peace and forgiveness in the face of violence, might also be considered one of Jesus' forgotten speeches. If one removed from the Gospels all of the speeches, remarks, and sermons Jesus made about poverty and peace, we'd not simply be left with an emaciated Jesus, we would be left with an almost non-existent Jesus. I'm fairly confident that none of us want to forget Jesus' speeches or their meaning. Moreover, I'm going to guess that most of us would like to live out the meaning of what Jesus had to say in our own lives. Thus, I have an idea for what we could do this morning that would be similar to a New Year's resolution. I got the idea while reading about King's speeches. In his speech in Detroit and others, King talked about the Emancipation Proclamation, in which Abraham Lincoln declared freedom for all of the slaves in Confederate states. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of the proclamation in 1963, King wanted another Emancipation Proclamation issued that would bring an end to racial segregation and disenfranchisement. It just so happens that January 1st of next year will mark the 150th anniversary of that proclamation. To help us prepare for that anniversary, I want us to draft our own Emancipation Proclamation. And I want each of you to be the authors of it. In your bulletin, you will find a slip of paper. On this slip that you are going to turn in later so that we can collect them and make them visible, there are three lines for you to complete. The first line says, in 2012, I would like to see emancipation from blank. Examples of what you might put in that blank are poverty, war, systems of inequality, corporate greed, discrimination, pollution, etc. The second line narrows down what you are particularly passionate about. It says specifically, I am concerned about blank. Examples of answers are child hunger, bullying, the war in the Congo, CO2 emissions, etc. The third and final line focuses on what you are going to do to help bring about this emancipation. One of my favorite quotes from King is this: human progress never rolls on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of those willing to be co-workers with God. How might you finish the line, in 2012, I will be a co-worker with God and bringing about emancipation by blank. Examples of answers could be educating myself and my friends about child hunger, the causes of it, participating in an organization to end bullying, writing my state legislature about air pollution, etc. If you already know your answers, you can jot them down and put the slip in a basket on the way out. If you need time to think about it, you can bring back the slip next week and submit it. Now, to provide an example of King's focus on economic issues and to help inspire you to action, we are going to play a 5-minute recording of one of King's last speeches. It was delivered at a Pentecostal church to the union representing the sanitation workers of Memphis who were on strike.
With Selma and the voting rights bill, one era of our struggle came to a close. An a new era came into being. Now our struggle is for genuine equality, which means economic equality. For we know now that it isn't enough to integrate lunch counters. What does it profit a man to be able to eat at an integrated lunch counter if he doesn't earn enough money to buy a hamburger and a cup of coffee? What does it profit a man to be able to eat at the swankiest integrated restaurants when he doesn't earn enough money to take his wife out to dine? What does it profit one to have access to the hotels of our cities and the motels of our highways when we don't earn enough money to take our family on a vacation? What does it profit one to be able to attend an integrated school when he doesn't earn enough money to buy his children school clothes? So we assemble here tonight, and you have assembled for more than 30 days now, to say we are tired. We are tired of being at the bottom. We are tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. We are tired of our children having to attend overcrowded, inferior, qualityless schools. We are tired of having to live in dilapidated, substandard housing conditions where we don't have wall-to-wall carpet, but so often we end up with wall-to-wall rats and roaches. We are tired of smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society. We are tired of walking the streets in search for jobs that do not exist. We are tired of working our hands off and laboring every day and not even making a wage adequate to get the basic necessities of life. We are tired of our men being emasculated so that our wives and our daughters have to go out and work in the white lady's kitchen. Leaving us unable to be with our children and give them the time and the attention that they need. We are tired. So in Memphis, we have begun. We are saying now is the time. Get the word across for everybody in power in this time, in this town, that now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to make an adequate income a reality for all of God's children. Now is the time for City Hall to take a position for that which is just and honest. Now is the time for justice to roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Now is the time.
Now is the time, and let this be the year. Let this be the year to bring good news to the poor. Let this be the year to proclaim release to the captives. Let this be the year to let the oppressed go free. Let this be the year of God's favor. Let this be the year to hold true to Jesus, to hold true to our goals, and to proclaim proclamation once again. Amen.